Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.
Welcome, everybody, to Inside the Coach's Headset. I'm your host, Amos Rogan. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And if you would, please share and let everybody know what we're doing right here on UCSportsNation.com. Hey, our podcast is brought to you by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079 for all your insurance needs. We've got a great guest today with us. He is the head coach of the Jackson County High School baseball team, Coach Juan Claraday. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
One of the things that we always love finding out about our great coaches up here in the Upper Cumberland is who are you a little bit? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into education and coaching Jackson County baseball.
Well, I was born and raised in Macon County, Lafayette, Tennessee. I'm a 1985 graduate of Macon County High School. I've always been involved in sports anyway. I played it growing up when I was little. And I wasn't a very good athlete. I was mostly a student manager. My coach had always said I had to play for sports, but not really the arms and legs, so to speak. And I didn't get the athletic genes of my family. My younger brothers did. And then after high school, I went to Cumberland University. I was on the baseball team as a student manager. And I graduated there in 5 years. And my head baseball coach wanted me to stay on as a graduate assistant coach on the baseball team, and I did. I stayed 3 more years. So I was a part of the college baseball program for 8 years, and during that time, I knew I was wanting to coach baseball, and I wanted to, to teach and coach high school kids, and I really, at that time, didn't have no desire to go back and get my master's and staying in the college game, and being 22, 23 years old, I was ready to make some money, and I've been teaching, and this is my 26th year. I've taught at several different schools, Lincoln County, Grundy County, Sequatchie County, and then finally I moved back home, Macon County, and taught there for a while, and now the last 3 years I've been in Jackson County.
So, and I think that's very interesting because we have a good mix of coaches here in the Upper Cumberland who have either played high school or collegiate sports, no matter what it may be. And then we also have some that maybe only played a little bit of high school and then eventually got into coaching later on. They kind of caught the bug, I guess you could probably say. Talk about a little bit about the environment that you were in that really got you to recognize, hey, I'm going to be a good coach here. And the more understanding of the game, more so than drawing from the experience of actually playing the game. I think of Bill Belichick, who has never played a down in his life as far as college football or anything like that, but easily, in the conversation of being one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time. Tell us a little bit about, from your experience in being on the management side, being around your coaches and everything, and learning those philosophies that you're applying today in your baseball program.
It all started in college. I knew when I went to college, and Coach Woody Hunt's my college baseball coach. He won 3 national championships. Unfortunately, I wasn't a part of them, but I was a part of 2 College World Series teams. And him just wanting me to stay around the program and be his graduate assistant played a lot in that. Even, when I was still his student manager, he would, when we have room assignments on road trips or hotels, I always have the one that had to be in the room with him. And he would just grill me about, situations. He took me under his wing. And when it finally hit me, because I was wanting to be with my teammates in the room, maybe, playing poker cards or whatever, whatnot, he had me in his room, and it finally hit me, hey, he's grooming me, mm-hmm. you know. And he told me, said, you're, as far as your mind, you're one of the most knowledgeable baseball minds I've had through my program. Still today, he says that, and we're very close. And so that kind of got my bug, you know, the light bulb started, you know, flash up above my head, you know, and it really played a lot. And I lean on him all the time. I'll call him baseball, just talk about life in general, and that's what got me going. That's what, like I said, the light bulb just flashed on, you know, say, hey, he's grooming me. I think I got this talent, you know.
And Coach Claire Day, baseball is my first love. I was a catcher, and because I had a decent arm, but I was slower than Christmas, so that's the only place that they could put me. But I learned very, very early on that the game is all about practice and repetition, and the more reps that you can get in, whether it's in the batting cage, you know, blocking balls if you're behind the plate, you know, framing, or even, you know, the infield or outfield, just the more repetitions that you can get, the better at it that you will be. But there's also a mental side of the game that a lot of players, I think, especially here in these times, can often take for granted. How do you practice the more mental side, the situational type of plays, especially when you start getting into players that you've faced before, you know where they're going to hit more times than not. How do you really practice that within your program in order to get that learning curve up to speed on the situational side of things?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that. It's repetition. You've got to go over and over. And this day and time, the kids, I think, in general, I'm not talking about my kids, but I've coached at other places, and through the years, the attention spans is just not quite there. They don't quite understand. And I've coached football, too, and that's kind of a thinking man sport in a way, too. But baseball especially is such a mental sport. You know, Yogi Berra had that famous quote, you know, baseball is 50% half, 90% half mental. I mean, there's a lot of truth to that statement. And you just got to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. And, you know, and sometimes I think the kids today just don't have that, you know, desire to really buy into the detail, the mental detail of it. They love to hit. They love to get in the cage. I'll use my kids, for example. They love to hit. They won't get in the cage. But when it's time to go out in the field and start lecturing, because you know as well as I do, baseball's a lot of lecture, you know, type game in practices, because you got design plays as well. And defensively, you really got to lecture and rep, you get, you know, and all that. It's all the fundamentals of baseball is such a lecture, you know, explain type stuff. And these kids, you know, they don't have the patience. They want to get their, you know, cuts, get their ground balls and go to the house sometime. You know, that's something I've kind of, you know, and I told my guys, I'm going back to 1995 Coach Claraday coaching style. If you don't like it, you know, you could go on to other things. I mean, I think that's his coaches. Frank Martin, South Carolina, said it. It's not the kids that, you know, that's changes. I think it's our generation that's changed and allowed them to do stuff. And that really hit home with me the last couple of years. I'm like, hey, I got to go back to basics. And that's what you got to do. You just got to rep it over and over and over again. It sounds like a broken record, but it's going to click if you just, you know, just stay patient and do what's been taught doing.
And I think a lot of players now, they want to be the pitcher. They want to be something that gets the most action, whether it's first baseman, hind catcher, pitcher. There's not a whole lot of people raising their hands to be a right fielder or left fielder or, you know, really second base when you start thinking about it. How do you structure your practices? Because if you're only focusing on, you know, hitting in the cage, there's a lot of downtime for the players that are not in the cage hitting at that time. How do you structure your practices in order to keep everybody involved and keep everybody moving all at once to where there's not a whole lot of standing around? Because if you're not careful, and this is me being a former coach of travel softball, if you're not careful, you'll look around and you've got six or seven players standing around jawing when they should be doing something else. How do you really structure your practices to make sure that that's cut down as much as possible?
Well, you know, in a perfect world, me being the head coach, I would love to have five or six assistants where we can put them in five groups and just, you know, go. And this day it sounds hard to find, you know, the number of assistants because economic-wise, you know, schools can only afford so much or willing to pay. Jackson County's been super with me, really have. And in the past, place has been super. And sometimes it's just me and one assistant. So, I mean, I've had to cut down, you know, on what I've taught before, lecture time and stuff. But, you know, I tell them, every position is important. Left fielder is just as important as that second base. But I tell them, Ted Williams, one of the greatest players of all time, was a left fielder. And I talk about, you know, current players. I'm like, look, Ozzie Albies is the second baseman. Look what he's doing. Mookie Betts, a right fielder. Mookie Betts ain't but 5'10", you know, and all that. And I tell them every position is important. And what I try to do, I just try to go, rotations, instead of 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes or 10 minutes, and maybe come back to it again later on in practice. We're fortunate to have six-block athletics, so we get started at 1, and instead of three and a half-hour practice, we're done at 4:30, 5 o'clock, enough time for them to get home, do their homework, and whatever needs to be done at home. We try to keep it short but to the point and tell them, hey, it's more to it. My philosophy, and I got that from my college coach, hey, offense sells tickets, but defense pitching wins championships. So I really, my best part of the practice, and we get in our positions, we hit on fungos after fungos after fungos. If I got one or two of my better outfielders that handles the bat well, I let them hit in fungos to infielders, and I'll roam around that infield, you know, tell them, hey, you got to keep your hands out in front. You got your hands too close to your body, you know, and kind of demonstrate, have them to hit me a couple ground balls, show them what I want, or have the middle infielders together, outfielder hit a fungo, and show them how I want to turn two, how double play needs to be turned, how to make that pivot at second, both shortstop and second baseman. Then I can go to the first baseman, grab me a few balls, throw short offs, work on their scoops, you know, and stuff, and third baseman, slow rollers. Then when the outfield goes, I'll have my infielders hit fungos to the each outfield position. Here's me and my assistant. We can do our thing. Or my assistant go to outfielders, I'll get the catchers, get that pitch machine, and just beat them to death, you know, with balls in the dirt, you know, have them white pitches. So, you know, we try to do our best. If I in college, when I was on the staff at college, we had four assistants to Coach Hunt. So, you know, college is a little bit different. You got your pitch coach. He's working with the pitchers. And I was responsible for the catchers. And when I went with the catchers, I was with the outfielders some and, you know, did drills and stuff. So that's how it's kind of gotten today. And I feel like we get enough done, but you always want more to get done if you're a coach.
We're talking to the head coach of the Jackson County High School Blue Devil baseball team, Coach Juan Claraday, right here on Inside the Coach's Headset on UCSportsNation.com. We're sponsored by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. Hey, Coach, I think especially in the high school game, probably more so, you know, college, and certainly when you get into the professionals, everybody gets specialized within the game within itself. But I think in high school, it is so important to have as many utility players as you possibly can. You don't want to pigeonhole somebody as you're just an outfielder or you're just a third baseman. Or you're just a pitcher, you really want to have as many utility players as you possibly can. I know pitching is something that it begins and ends with your pitchers, but also, you know, you got to have a lot of those support players as well. How do you really develop and try to get as many utility players as you can within your team? That way you can plug and play because it's a long season. A lot of people don't realize how long a baseball season really is, but you get started when there's still snow coming out of the clouds if Mother Nature warrants it, and you go a long way. It's a long season. You're going to probably have some injuries, probably going to have some issues with some slumps and things of that nature. How do you develop those utility players so you can plug and play and kind of go through the grind that is the season?
Well, in high school baseball, you kind of elaborated on that a little bit. There's the biggest difference in professional and college ball and high school ball. Your pitchers are usually your better players. When they don't pitch, they're playing shortstop, or they're my center fielder or my first baseman. You know, it just, you don't have that set pitch staff where you're just a pitcher only. And it's not that same 19. You might have that kid that might win. If I pitch, Mookie Betts is on the bench, but when I go to short, you know, Mookie Betts goes in this position. So normally you might have a 10, 11-player rotation, and sometimes that one kid's setting out because his certain pitcher pitches. And then put somebody else in a defensive spot. And with the pitch count now in high school baseball, that you don't have to take that starter out after so many pitches. You know, we really monitor that carefully in this day of time. And so you might play three positions in one game because you have to make these pitching changes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what I'm looking for is 11 guys that we can rotate and float in. You might not start the game, but you might finish the game, and vice versa. And I said, don't be surprised during fall workouts and preseason when we come back in January that we're talking to you about playing this position or that position. I said, and the bottom line is you want to play. You want to be out there, right? And most time they'll say, yes, sir, I want to play. I said, okay. It might be as a right fielder. The next day you might be a third baseman because of who's pitching. And that really determines when I write that lineup card for that particular game, who's pitching. And I've got to think, if once he hits his pitch count or once he gets in trouble, whenever I have to take this kid out, this is my next option. So when I put this kid in as relief, what am I doing now defensively? If you want, and you want to try as a baseball coach, and you know, in softball as well, because you said you've coached softball, the easiest change to make where it doesn't really, you know, screw up everything. You want that change to be as easy and manageable as possible, not only on the lineup, but the coach's standpoint for the kid as well.
And you kind of alluded to fall workouts as well. You know, if somebody really wanted to, and it's not that hard, if you want to play baseball and or softball year round, you can do it. There's enough travel organizations and things like that around the area and around the Southeast that you can really plug into. How important is it now to the success of your program, and it's really the success of any high school program for that matter, how important is it now for players to really plug in and get that travel ball experience, really get into those types of things that develop them as a player even further than just what the high school season can offer?
Well, this is how it's kind of changed. Back when I first started coaching, we kept our team together. And so once the season was over, the graduating seniors went on to more major things. We took returning guys, and we had a little summer schedule and, you know, used that. Now, as years gone by, more gone to travel or they more wanted to play Legion ball or whatever. That's fine. They need to play. And we're getting into the small rural areas now. And they're not getting to that because travel ball is expensive. And they kind of want their summertime as well. I understand that. But then again, like you said, in order for them to get better, they want to go beyond high school or become that good high school player. They've got to do something, you know, year-round. If they're just a baseball guy. If you go to small rural schools, we need all of our good athletes to play the sports. And more college recruiters in every sport, basketball, baseball, football, they love that multi-sport athletic guy. Mm-hmm. I want my guys to play football. I want to play basketball. But if once they decide, hey, I think baseball or football is my ticket, they need to devote as much time to it as they possibly can. And so I encourage my kids. Actually, this past summer, we got we have a Babe Ruth team. We played at Livingston, but Livingston Babe Ruth League. It was my freshmen and eighth graders and a couple of sophomores, which, well, you know, basically this year's eighth graders, freshmen, and sophomores, you know. and we had a good time and held our own against other competition. And we're planning on doing that as long as people are willing to play. And that's going to help out too. Then fall, we can have open facilities where we can hit, pitch, and we can work with three individuals a day. And the others do drills, but I could pull three to the side. Like, if I want to work with my pitchers Monday, when we come back to school Monday, I could work on pitching mechanics, or I get my catchers, two or three catchers. We could work on blocking, framing, and other stuff. We can do that in the fall. Plus, we have weight training. We do CrossFit. We're really putting them through the gauntlet because, it's a mental game, and I feel like we need to get a little bit mentally tougher than we was last year. And that's team building, and kids have bought into it. I mean, I have to say, this has been one of the best fall, workouts and open facilities I've had in a long time since I've coached.
And you're talking about that team mentality and the kids really buying in. What is the one big thing that you really tried to instill into your program on a yearly basis for new players that are coming in from, the middle school, coming in to really understand and really grab onto as far as knowing what a Coach Claire Day team is going to be like?
We're going to play ball. I want ball players. We don't have to have a team full of Hank Aarons, so to speak, or pitching staff of Roger Clemens, Garrett Coles, Justin Verlandis. I just want competitors. I want to compete and let the other teams know that you're going to earn this win. If you're going to beat us, you're going to earn it. We're going to compete for 7 innings for 21 outs. And that's what I want my teams to be. I mean, I pride on being a defensive-minded coach. We struggled that last year because we had a very young team last year. And that's what's led up to what we're doing this fall. And, because pitchers, we don't have the guys that can strike out 10, 15 guys a game. So I just want my pitchers to throw strikes and make the routine plays behind our pitcher. We'll be in good shape. We'll scratch out some runs, whether hit, bunt, whatever it takes to get a run, we'll do it. We're going to do whatever it takes to compete and try to win a ball game. That's what I want my teams to have, the mentality I want my teams to have.
Well, Coach, no doubt in my mind, you can definitely hear your excitement and passion about your program and especially the upcoming season. Really appreciate you joining us. I hope that you, by the time this will be aired, it will be a little bit after Thanksgiving, but I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with you and your family. And thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. You have a good holiday season too, and everybody out there to listen. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving, and hope to see you in the ball field. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Inside the Coach's Headset with our guest, Jackson County High School baseball head coach Juan Claraday. I'm Amos Rogan, your host. You've been listening to UCSportsNation.com, and thank you very much for listening to it. We've been sponsored by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. Go visit Tony at 425 East Broad Street right here in Cookeville, or give him a call for all your insurance needs at 528-7079. Once again, thanks again, Coach. Best of luck to you, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you.
Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.